appreciate each one that comes this way and been attending while that we've been teaching this series concerning the false world church. Billy goes on Sunday. I believe they like to stay in the barnyard and read the newspaper. But I believe God's people, His sheep, will be in the house of God, where the Word of God is preached. Revelation chapter 17. If you have your Bible, Revelation 17. And once again, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7 of this particular chapter. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." That's reading once again Revelation 17, verses 1 through 7. I'd like to have you each head bowed and each eye closed, please. Let's once again go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the brother pastor if you'll lead us at this time.
Father, we thank you again for this privilege to be here tonight. Those who brought our way, thank the Lord for those who are students of the Word of God and able to teach. We ask, Lord, to be with Brother Wayne tonight with us. His instruction to be truthful and helpful. And Lord, we pray that we have a better idea of the false world church and realize the awfulness, the wickedness that's leading people astray. We might have compassion to win those who are lost, Lord, and hatred toward that sin which turns many away from God. And we ask that you bless Brother Wayne as he teaches tonight, fill in thy spirit of freshness, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In the weeks prior, we have stated that here in Revelation chapter 17 is set before us the false world church, or the apostate world church. We believe, according to the Word of God, that the next event on God's prophetic calendar will be the removal of the saints of God from this earth. That has been referred to as the rapture, which is the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ. At that time, the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And he will remove his own out of this world. His own will be taken out of this world. Now, there are many in the world today that profess Christianity, but they do not possess Jesus Christ. And my friend, when the rapture takes place, this crowd is going to be left behind. And the Word of God clearly teaches that they are going to get together. There's going to be a getting together. And we find that there's going to be one big world church. And that is what is set before us here in this passage of Scripture. Here is the world church headed up under Rome. Now someone says, preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She is called Babylon in verse number 5 because Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Now in the weeks prior, we stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon, as is recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. This we've already done. We've also traced Babylonianism through the Scriptures, till we came back here to Revelation chapter number 17. And in the weeks prior, we've already begun dealing with these particular verses. When we begin dealing with this chapter, we stated that this chapter can be looked at as follows. First, in verses 1 through 6, the system is exposed. Second, in verses 7 through 15, the secret is explained. And then third, in verses 16 through 18, the system is exposed. Each week, we've also been pointing out the fact that this particular chapter has a key verse. And the key verse of this chapter is verse number 1. Verse number 1 of this chapter tells us the subject or the theme of this chapter. This verse tells us that the subject of this chapter is the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Or in other words, the theme of this chapter is the judgment of this false world church set before us here in this passage of Scripture. Now in the week's time, we've already dealt with verses 1 through 4. And we've also begun dealing with verse number 5. Last week, I dealt with the word forehead here in verse number 5. Here we find that this one has a whore's forehead. I directed your attention last week to Jeremiah chapter number 3, where the Lord speaks about a whore's forehead. And there we find that that particular forehead is mentioned in connection with shamelessness. Here, there, that forehead is mentioned in connection with brazenness.
Right.
Brazenness. Most certainly it is. And here we find that this one has a whore's forehead, and that speaks of her shamelessness. That which should be her shame and her sin, she publicly glories in. And here we find one, a religious harlot, advertising her harlotry. Not only that, but we dealt with the word mystery last week. I stated last week that the word mystery, as is found in the New Testament Scriptures. Now the word mystery is not found one time in the Old Testament, but it's found 27 times in the New Testament Scriptures. And it's found that 21 times in the books that God used Paul to write. Now the primary meaning of the word mystery in the New Testament is not something mysterious. But the primary meaning of a mystery in the New Testament involves that which is secret. That which is secret. Last week I dealt, while dealing with this word mystery, with Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I also dealt with Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. I read Colossians 1:26. My friend, the mystery in the New Testament Scriptures has to do with a divine secret. Now I want you to listen carefully. A divine secret, or a sacred secret, that has been kept hid in God from the foundation of the world.
Right.
But is now revealed by the Spirit of God in the New Testament.
Right.
The Word of God declares that a mystery in the New Testament Scriptures is a divine secret that has been kept hidden in God from the foundation of the world. It's not revealed in the Old Testament Scriptures, but it is something that's revealed in the New Testament Scriptures. I'm going to read one other passage of Scripture in connection with what a mystery is in the New Testament. I believe this will be a help to you. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 3 to make this very clear. Ephesians
chapter number 3. Here in Ephesians chapter number 3, Paul uses the word mystery. Look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now Paul is speaking about a mystery here. Now I want you to notice carefully what he says. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now look at verse number 5. What is the mystery? Look at verse number 5. Which in other ages, that involves the Old Testament scriptures, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed in the New Testament scriptures. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Look down at verse number 9. Here the Word of God says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world, look at it carefully, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. My friend, there are 14 mysteries in the New Testament scriptures. These 14 can be divided into 4 categories. I dealt with that last week. The first of these categories is doctrinal mysteries. Not only that, but we find dispensational mysteries. Then there are devotional mysteries. And then fourth, we find that there are diabolical mysteries. And there's 2 of those in the New Testament scriptures. You remember when Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7 spoke about the mystery of iniquity. That's a diabolical mystery. And then here John refers to the second diabolical mystery in the New Testament scriptures. Here he refers to mystery, thou in the great. Now let us notice further here in verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, mystery. Mystery. It involves that which is secret. Now listen. Concerning this word mystery, I want to say this. Here we have the false royal church headed up under Rome. And it should not surprise us to learn of the fact that the Roman Catholic Church down through the years has always operated with a cloak of secrecy. Her rituals, her ceremonies, her priesthood, her monasteries, her convents has all been operated and conducted with a cloak of secrecy. Certainly that's so. Now let's notice further in verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, mystery, Babylon the Great. Now, don't you notice the word Babylon? Mystery, Babylon the Great. Now, I've dealt with the word Babylon earlier in this series, so I'm not going to deal with it as much right here. But the word Babylon is found 283 times in the Bible. Babylon is spoken of more often or more times in the Word of God than any city except Jerusalem. Babylon is mentioned 283 times in the Bible. Now listen, Babylon had its beginning, as is recorded, in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. We've already dealt with those particular chapters, and the beginning of Babylonianism. And we find, my friend, we find here in Genesis 10:11 the dawn of Babylonianism. And then here in Revelation 17, we find the destruction of Babylonianism. And here in Revelation chapter 17, the Word of God tells us that Rome Here the Word of God presents Rome as the home of Babylonianism. And here it presents Rome as the place where Babylonianism will be fully developed and finally destroyed. Here she is called Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Now listen, from the very beginning in Genesis 10 and 11 to the very end, wherever you find Babylon spoken of, you'll always find that which is in opposition to God in His way. You'll always find that which opposes God Almighty. Always. So when we see the word Babylon here in verse number 5, we know that this is a system that opposes God. When we find the word Babylon referred to here in connection with this religious harlot, we know that this is a great system of religious error and confusion. You know what Babylon means? It means confusion. The word Babylon means confusion. So here we have a great system of religious error and confusion. And let me say this. We are certainly living in a day where people are confused.
Right. Amen.
Certainly we are. We're living in a day when people are certainly confused. It's not unusual today to hear a person talking about spiritual things to say, I'm confused. That's not unusual to hear someone say that today. We're living in a day of confusion. Religious leaders today have done a fine job of confusing people. And I did say religious leaders. You know, the word religion is only found 5 times in the Bible. The word religious is only found 2 times in the Bible. And my friend, the word religion or religious is not synonymous with salvation. Certainly not. Certainly not. Religion and religious leaders have done a good job in confusing people today. The word religion means I bind or to bind to. Now that's what the word religion means. It means I bind or to bind to. Now listen to me. Do you know this religious crowd, these religious leaders involved in false religions today? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to bind people
right to
their religion. They're trying to bind people, tie people, chain people to their program and burst that up. That's what they're trying to do. Now, let's notice something else here in verse number 5. Here the Word of God says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Notice the words, the Great, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Did you know that Babylon is referred to, or Babylon is called, that great city 6 times in the pages of the Word of God? 6 times. 6 in the Word of God is a numerical number for man, and it's also associated with the devil. The serpent in Genesis chapter number 3 is the 6th personage mentioned in the Bible. And here we find Babylon the Great is called that great city 6 times.
the pages of the Word of God. And the numerical number 6 is associated with the Word, with man, and with the devil. And my friend, here in Revelation chapter number 17, we find Babylon the Great associated and supported by the Antichrist in verse number 3.
Right.
And the Antichrist is going to be who? The devil man. The devil in flesh. Notice further here in verse number 5. I direct your attention again to the word great. Here the Word of God says, mystery, Babylon, the great. The great. Now listen. The word great is used 72 times in the book of the Revelation. It's used over and over and over again in this particular book. And if you'll study the usage of this word in this book, you'll find that 40 great things are spoken of in this last book of the Bible. 40 great things are mentioned in the book of the Revelation. And here's one of them. Mystery, Babylon, the Great. Now listen carefully. I believe it's interesting and significant to note that the word great is used 11 times in connection with Babylon in the pages of the Word of God. I say 11 times. You say, preacher, why is that significant? I believe it is because of this. Babylon means confusion. And it's mentioned in the word great. It's mentioned 11 times in connection with Babylon. Babylon means confusion. The number 11 in the Bible is a numerical number for disorder. When you have disorder, you have confusion. I want you to turn your Bible a moment to Genesis chapter number 11, please. If you will, turn your Bible to Genesis chapter number 11. I want to point something out here that I did not point out while dealing with these particular chapters earlier in this series. In Genesis chapter number 10, in verses 8 through 10, I directed your attention to two things. First, a person by the name of Nimrod, and then second, a place by the name of Babel. Now, the word Babel is only used twice in the Bible. It's used the first time here in Genesis 10:10, and it's used for the second and last time in Genesis 11 in verse 9. There the Word of God says, Babel is the name of it called Babel. Now listen, the word Babel here is having reference to Babylon. Having reference to Babylon. I dealt with all that. But here's what I want to point out. Genesis chapter 11 is connected with Genesis chapter 10. Because Genesis chapter 11 begins with the word "and." Genesis chapter 11 verses 1 through 9. Listen. Genesis 11 verses 1 through 9 is a commentary upon Nimrod and his kingdom, Babel or Babylon. Right here in verses 1 through 9 we have recorded in detail the beginning of Babylon. Now, Have you ever stopped to think of what chapter this is recorded in? What does Babylon mean? It means confusion. The number 11 in the Word of God means disorder. When you have disorder, you have confusion. My friend, here we have the beginning of Babylon recorded. It's not found in chapter 12. It's found in chapter 11. I believe this Bible is put together just like God wants it, and I believe this Bible is perfect.
Right.
And this here is found in Genesis chapter number 11. And there's disorder wrote all over the beginning of Babylon here as is recorded for us in these particular verses. Look at verse number 3. Word of God says, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone. Do you remember when I dealt with this verse and dealt with the matter of brick and stone, that I stated that over and over again in the Word of God, the Lord is referred to by the figure of a stone. By the figure of a stone. But here this crowd didn't use stone. They used brick. And I dealt with that. But I didn't say this. Did you know that the words brick and bricks are only found 11 times in the Bible? Only 11. Disorder. Only 11 times. And every time that the word brick and bricks is used in the Bible, they are spoken of in an unfavorable condition or state. As we study the Word of God, we should pay careful attention as to what is found in which chapter. In which chapter? You know, leprosy is presented in the Word of God as a type of sin. A type of sin. Do you know where leprosy is fully treated in the Word of God? And we are told about leprosy in detail. Leviticus chapter 13 in the Word of God is a numerical number for apostasy and rebellion. It's found in Leviticus 13. Now let's notice further in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 5. Here the Word of God says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Notice this carefully now. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Notice the term, the mother of harlots. Here the Word of God tells us, that this one is the mother of harlots, or she has some children. She has some offsprings. Now this term, the mother of harlots, should cause our minds to go back, as I've already mentioned this evening, to Genesis 10 and 11, and the beginning of Babylon, where Babylonianism had its beginning. And it was from Babylon that this false religious system spread throughout the earth. It's from Babylon that this religious system spread throughout the earth. And my friend, here we find that she is the mother, she is the tyrant, she is the source of each religious system that courts the world. That's what the Word of God is telling us here. She's the tyrant of each religious system that courts the world. The Word of God is telling us here, notice, her offsprings, what are they? The mother of harlots. What is she? According to this passage, she is the great whore. According to this passage, she is a religious harlot. Therefore, her offsprings are just like her.
Right.
They're just like her. Now, Romanism, and I want you to listen carefully. Romanism is just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Now listen. There are denominations, there are religious groups, there are religious organizations today on the streets that came out of the Roman Catholic Church.
That's right. Amen.
There are religious organizations and denominations and religious groups today on the scene that have their home base and seat in Rome. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Back during what is called the Reformation, there were those that came out of the Roman Catholic Church. They came out of the Roman Catholic Church and they protested against the Roman Catholic Church. They protested against the Roman Catholic Church. And because of their protest, they came to be known as Protestants.
Right.
You see, the word Protestants has to do with protesting. These came out of the Roman Catholic Church and they protested and they came to be known as Protestants. We can look around us today and there's denominations and religious groups and organizations that have their home base and seat in Rome. It's actually where they came from. It's where they came from. And I believe, my friend, that included in these harlots here, in verse number 5, included in these harlots here, in verse number 5, are those that came out of that Roman Catholic Church. I believe the Word of God makes it very clear that those that came out of that Roman Catholic Church are going to go right back to where they came from.
Right. Amen.
And my friend, we're seeing it today.
That's right.
I mean, there's Protestants today that's making tracks right back to the Roman Catholic Church just as hard as they can go.
That's right.
Now, I might say that isn't it interesting to note that every once in a while today you'll hear the Roman Catholic Church referred to as the Mother Church. I believe the Word of God is teaching here that they're going to go right back to the one they came out of. Now let me pull something out here. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 44, the Word of God says, as is the mother, so is her daughter. You know as well as I do that daughters are likely to partake of their mother's characteristics.
Right.
Certainly that's so. And here we find that this one's offsprings are just like her. They're harlots. Did you know today that there are Protestant churches that you could go to and you could sit down in the pew and be in that meeting and leave that meeting, and if you didn't know better, you'd think you were in a Roman Catholic church?
That's right. Amen. What you're saying, brother.
As every week passes, that many today becoming more and more and more like the Roman Catholic Church. Certainly we do. Now, let me say this as well. Some people have misunderstood the fact, and they've not understood the fact, let me say that. They've not understood the fact that Baptists, now listen to me, Baptists are not Protestants.
That's right. Amen.
Listen at me. Baptists are not Protestants.
That's right.
Baptists have never been in the Roman Catholic Church to come out of in the first place.
That's right. Amen.
Now, somebody here may say, preacher, you mean to tell me that if I'm a Baptist, that assures me that I will not be one that will help to make up this one world church here. There may be some that say, "Preacher, if I'm a Baptist, does that assure me of the fact that I will not be one that will help to make up this false world church?" No, I'm not saying that at all. The reason I'm not saying that is because we have many unsaved Baptists today. Because you are a Baptist, because I am a Baptist, does not mean that we're on our way to heaven. Because we are a Baptist does not mean that we will not be a part of this great whore here in Revelation 17. I'll tell you what will keep you out of this false world church here. Salvation.
Yes. Amen.
Salvation.
Amen.
I'm afraid today that we have many, many Baptists that profess Christianity, but they do not possess Jesus Christ. And there's no doubt in my mind that there'll be many, many, many Baptist that will help to make up this religious harlot here in Revelation 17. You know why? They've never been saved by the grace of God. They're lost. They're lost. We have Baptists today. Listen. We have Baptists today that praise the Pope.
Right.
In Rome. Did you know that? Did you know that? We have Baptists today that praise the Pope in Rome. But salvation will keep you out of this false world church mentioned here in Revelation 17. I'd like to have each head bowed and eye closed again, please. I thank you.